Do you know how to guide someone who is blind? In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll tell you the easiest method, and I'll tell a couple of stories from the Independence holiday weekend and about a new website that I'm working on and some issues that I'm having doing it.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 82 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and I also want to thank you. In the last couple of days, I have gone past 4,000 downloads, and I know that's not a lot after all these episodes, but it is something, and it is a milestone for me that I'm very proud about, and I do thank you. If this is your first time listening, I appreciate you checking out the show, and if you've been a supporter, like my friend Alex and Dan and Eileen, I appreciate you for listening each and every episode. And again, you can catch up with me on socials, at David Benj. Hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. I expect to post something later today. And I am standing inside a very warm Studio C. And it is warm, as I think I've mentioned in the past. There is no air circulation in here, so if you hear a slight hum, that is a fan going just to circulate some air while the door is closed, because Jane is working and Liz is doing some things. So I'm trying to get this done before Jacob gets home from work. Target did not really get my approval on this week's schedule for him, because he worked every morning, but only until about 11 or 12 o'clock. So when Jacob is home, even though sometimes he's quiet, he does things that, you know, as I've mentioned before, I cannot concentrate when I hear tapping on keys and things like that. And I mentioned where Jane works when she's not working from our living room. It is a wide open space. So it's not just one person tapping away on a keyboard. It's multiple people. And I just couldn't do that. I couldn't do it yesterday. I couldn't get the podcast in. So I'm actually recording on the day I release it, which is Thursday, the 9th of July. And I've had a lot going on this last week or so. And it just seems like each week there's more and more things for me to do. And so that does give me a little bit more to talk about. But today it's going to sound more like I'm complaining, which, you know, I guess I am. But there were some good things also in the last week. One of the things that I want to talk about today, and they actually all kind of tie together from all the different things that happen that we talk about in past episodes, where, you know, some people don't understand how to talk or act with someone who is visually impaired or blind. And I have three instances this week, and I'll start with the one that was fun. On 4th of July, you know, if you're in the U.S., you obviously know what that is. If you're outside the U.S., 4th of July, Independence Day, usually a time for going and getting together with friends, you know, maybe a barbecue, go swimming, whatever. It's usually a big time summer holiday, and it's probably the best summer holiday because it's not too early in the season, like Memorial Day, where, okay, yeah, people invite you over to go swimming, but the water's still cold because their pool's only been open a little bit. Or, you know, if you're down at the beach, you know, the ocean is still kind of cool. You know, 4th of July, the water's nice, whether it's ocean or pool. And I guess maybe if you go on Labor Day, which is the first Monday in September, maybe the ocean might be warmer then. But otherwise, you know, you're still, at that point, you're scurrying to get ready to go back to school, get back into the swing of business and things like that. So 4th of July is always a great holiday. We usually get together. In years past, we've gotten together with my friend Alex and his family. He used to have some things, and if not them, we would go, at the time when we lived in our house in Media, we would go next door to our friend Mike and Lisa and their daughter Maya. And of course, you know, Maya and Jacob and Jane grew up together. Maya is around 25. She lives and works down in Washington. She's actually going for her master's degree. So it's always nice to get together, and still the kids, although in this case it was only Jane because Jacob was working 4th of July, you know, we got to get to, you know, Lisa had called and said, hey, or texted, I guess, and said, hey, you know, would you feel comfortable coming over? We would, you know, be distant from one another in the backyard. And there's that third couple, the Guos, whose daughter was in town from Boston, who Maya and the Guo's daughter, Emily, you know, again, went through school together in the Rose Tree Media School District here in southeastern Pennsylvania. And so we said, yeah, we'd be okay with that. And, you know, we were all going to bring our own food. And of course, that didn't hold completely true because Jane Guo, who makes some great things, and, you know, any rice we compare to Jane's anytime we get rice, well, they had made dumplings, chicken dumplings, and they make them from scratch. They make the dough, they make the filling, then they construct them and cook them. And so, you know, that was one thing that when Jane had texted the group, hey, would you be okay with if I made some, you know, everybody was on board with that. And then when we got there, right next door to our old house, you know, Lisa, who Mike and Lisa hosted. So Lisa had made some guacamole, and I will never turn down guacamole. Now, it was funny, as I was eating it, I was trying not to touch the outside of the bowl, and I was only trying to get, you know, the chip into the into the bowl and get just the guac out without having to touch the bowl or hold the bowl or do any of that. And again, when you can't really see it, that's not the easiest thing to do. But I didn't get any on me, and I never touched the outside of the bowl to the best of my knowledge. So everything worked out well there. But the first funny thing that I want to talk about, you know, as we were sitting around talking, and for the most part, we did not wear masks. At the beginning, I kept my mask on for a bit, but when I could tell that everybody was, you know, a good distance away, and obviously then when it's time to eat, you have to take the mask off. So I took the mask off, and I was pretty comfortable with that. But Mike, who was sitting to my right, about 8 or 10 feet away, was talking about a problem during one of the storms within the last few weeks. I don't remember exactly when the storm was, but he was talking about a tree. He said, yeah, that tree over there. And I don't know what Liz was doing, but I didn't know where he meant. And I kind of thought he was pointing, and I'm assuming he was pointing, but I'm not 100% sure. And I asked him again, and I said, over where? And he said, you know, over there. And then he elaborated and said, you know, by the basketball pole. I'm like, oh, okay. And, you know, and at one point I may have pointed towards the other end of the pool. We were down towards the shallow end of the pool. We weren't in the pool. Only Ippen went in the pool. But, you know, that was one instance. I had no idea, you know, and I have to be honest, I was kind of uncomfortable because I was so far away, I couldn't even tell if, you know, if he had his arms up and he was pointing or he was looking in a direction. I have no idea. And again, when you're talking to someone who can't see, you have to be a little bit more descriptive. You know, if he said, you know, the tree back behind the basketball pole, you know, had a branch break off during the storm because of the wind, then I would have known. But when he said, you know, branch on the tree, you know, broke off due to the wind, you know, the tree over there, you know, again, and again, I assuming he was pointing. And the other thing that I don't want to say it was uncomfortable, but I can't sit for a long time. And as I mentioned last week, I'm standing right now as I'm recording this, standing in front of my computer in the sweat box that is Studio C. And again, I hope the fan noise is not too loud. I honestly can't shut it off because it would be stifling in here. The other thing, you know, so I would sit down for a little bit, like when I was eating the guac, I would sit down to, you know, scoop it out. But you know, my knee, when it stays bent for a long time, it starts to hurt. So I try not to stay in a seated position for a long time because it bothers me if I can't stretch it out. So I get up and I kind of walk around a little bit, not all over the place. You know, you know, think John McCain during the 2008 debate with Barack Obama, where he just started wandering around. That's kind of like what I do. You know, I was staying close to the chair that I was sitting in because I didn't have my cane with me. So I was, you know, I didn't know what, you know, if there were any pool items on the cement, and I didn't want to wander off and either trip over something or someone. And, you know, so I was just kind of walking around my chair, and the chair was, you know, one of those, you know, like a lounge chair. And, but I never sat with my back on that part. I was sitting at the end, and that was probably part of my problem. I was probably part of the problem there. But, you know, because I didn't have a mask on, there were times that Lisa had gotten up to get something or to walk to get something from inside. And, you know, obviously we got closer than the 6 feet. And in some instances, in one instance, I almost ran into her. So if I noticed that she was getting up to get something, I kind of either sat down or just stood in a spot for a couple of minutes and, you know, waited for that. So that's, and it just made me think, if I am going out and about, like if I need some medicine over at the CVS where we shop, which is in walking distance from where I am, it's 2 or 3 minute walk. It's very close. You know, how comfortable would I be going on my own? You know, they have markings in the carpet, you know, for how far you're supposed to stay back from someone. But just like in previous episodes where I talk about, you know, going into like the men's room when I'm, you know, when we're traveling somewhere, mostly to New York, but when we're traveling and I, you know, it's uncomfortable for me because I don't want to, you know, start whacking people in the ankles to see where they are. And, you know, I know that, you know, that would, you know, some people get a little, you know, weirded out by that. And some people, you know, get it. You know, and I certainly don't want to, you know, run straight into the back of someone if I'm getting in the line at the CVS and you know, my cane for whatever reason doesn't touch them. You know, I don't want to do that, obviously. So I don't know. And it's why I typically do not go into stores with Liz, because, you know, usually when we go into Target, for example, I will hold on to the cart. Well, since all this, you know, COVID-19 stuff, I don't want to touch anything. And, you know, for me, touching is everything that, you know, to know what something is. That's, you know, you got to feel for something to find it. You know, if you say, oh, get me that thing on the shelf, I got to feel for it. You know, is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? And I just start holding things up. You know, so it just doesn't make sense for me to go in. Now, I did go into Target last week with Liz, and, you know, we used to hate getting the carts with the squeaky wheel. You know, now it's great because I will walk behind Liz listening to the cart. And we did have a cart. It actually sounded like a train, you know, going down the track, because one of the tires must have had like a nick taken out of it, or, you know, was flattened by whatever reason. You know, one of the part of the surface was flat, so it was thump 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 thump, and you know, so it made it very easy for me. I was very happy, and you know, I said to Liz at the time, I said, you know, for once we got a cart that, you know, that works for us. You know, because it wasn't hard for her to push. It's not like there was a big issue. It just made that funny noise. But that funny noise made things a lot easier for me in Target instead of having to sit in the car. And I think it was a really hot day. It was like one of those days where you'd have to leave the car running, and who knows how long, you know, she was going to be in there. So she said, come on, let's, you know, why don't you come in? And I did, and I was glad I did, because, you know, it was nice walking around and and doing that. It's just, I just, as things get, you know, as everything has spiked, I don't know when I'm going to, you know, go back into a store and feel comfortable walking around on my own, at least. You know, again, because I don't know if I'm being socially distant from everyone. And, you know, if the other person doesn't care and is close to me, I might not know. And again, you know, I then start to think about, you know, the NBA is getting ready to play, and Major League Soccer actually started this morning. I just can't imagine, you know, those guys, especially in the NBA, I can't imagine, you know, sweat is always flying everywhere, you know, during a game. I just can't imagine that they're going to end up finishing the season, you know, after they start, because, you know, it's just such close contact and sweat and everything else. I just, you know, I hope they do. You know, just like I hope the Major League Baseball season finishes and the NHL season finishes, and at least they could have some sort of champion at the end. But for me, it's going to be a while before I feel comfortable walking on my own, in a store. You know, if Liz is pushing a shopping cart, you know, obviously if we're just walking around, you know, I usually grab onto Liz and, you know, hold her like the proper technique, for example, when you're guiding someone who is blind or visually impaired, you either grab their arm, you know, after you ask permission, if you're grabbing them, or you ask them to take your arm, you would grab just above the elbow and, you know, kind of hold it like a can of beer or soda. I don't drink either, so it doesn't really matter. You can't hold it like you hold a Starbucks cup, though, because it's a little different. So that's how, you know, if Liz and I, you know, if we're just walking somewhere, you know, Liz and I obviously will hold hands. So, you know, and Jane really has not gone out much during the whole thing. And a lot of times we go out while she's working. I mean, she's working so much harder now than she did while she was in the office. You know, last night she worked until around 10:15, and then one of the computers in her office kicked her off. And so she ended up stopping at that point. You know, so she's not usually out when Liz and I are out and about, because Liz is on summer break from school. You know, she obviously has more time to do things and, you know, we'll go run around, you know, still during the workday, because we've started to eat dinner a little bit later because Jane is always working later, you know. So now sometimes we're eating dinner, you know, 7:30, and sometimes even a little later, just, you know, because Jane is working. And you know, some of her late days, sometimes she'll take a dinner break and then go back to work. Sometimes she'll just stop working, you know, in the seven o'clock hour and you know, get, you know, just watch TV with us afterwards. So another funny thing, so that was one issue. Another funny thing was there's, as I've mentioned, I do a few different jobs. None are paid. Most of them are thankless. One of them is president of the condo association here. And I got a call over the 4th of July weekend that from the office manager who was down at the Jersey Shore, who had gotten a call from one of the pool attendants here that the pool filter was leaking. At first it wasn't bad, it was just dripping, but at the point that she called me, it was more than a drip. It was like a trickle. And so they had to shut the thing down. Unlike your house pool, or the pool you have in your backyard, whether it's above ground or below ground, where it's not that big of a deal, you know, because this is a big pool and it's set up for, you know, 77, you know, apartments, and, you know, there are state guidelines, and, you know, chlorine levels have to be checked a couple times a day, and some other levels have to be checked a couple times a day. So if it drops below that, you can't stay open. And obviously, if the water is not circulating, you know, there's a chance that, you know, the levels could drop, because you've only got the chlorine tablets in the skimmers. So if the water's not circulating, the chlorine is not circulating, and so that could become an issue. It also could become an issue if the levels drop even for a moment temporarily, and this, you know, they have inspectors that go around and just show up and do a quick water sample. And I don't know how many times over the summer they come into the place here to do that. It might only be once or twice, but whatever it is, you don't want to have that issue, because then it could be, you know, shut down for a couple of days until it's back up and running with the proper chlorine levels. And if you're not running the filter, you know, you're not going to get back to the proper chlorine levels. So I was talking to the office manager about that. And as we were talking, she's like, well, you know, I told her I appreciated her calling me, you know, while she was down at the beach, and, you know, it was a holiday weekend. And, you know, I appreciate it. She said, well, and she kind of stopped. I said, you didn't want me to be blindsided by that. And she's like, yeah, but I didn't want to say that to you. She would have said it to someone else, but she didn't want to say it to me. And, you know, just like I've said in the past, another one of those things that we talk about, that it's okay to say to folks who can't see, meaning people who are blind. And I might have trouble saying blind to begin with. So it could be me too. But one of those things, hey, it's good to see you. I say that to my blind friends, and they say it to me. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow. You know, or we have, for example, a Keystone Chapter Board meeting on, general meeting on Saturday, and I was talking to a couple of the people who are on the board with me. One who's the president, and one who is the secretary. And you know, I said something like, you know, see you on Saturday, even though it's going to be on Zoom, and it's, you know, most folks, you know, either call in or don't even use the video portion of Zoom because, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, even if there is video, I usually don't watch, you know, because I've got my screen reversed. So everybody looks reversed anyway. So it's okay to say blindsided to a person who is not just a quarterback or, you know, someone who is protecting that quarterback, but someone who is blind. You can say blindsided, or, you know, it might be a little insensitive if you say, hey, I'm blind today. You know, well, how are you tomorrow? If you're not blind tomorrow, then okay. It's, I can't see every day. I'm standing here in front of my computer and, you know, because it's so warm in here, I do have, as I've mentioned before, some heavy-duty reading glasses. And when I use the computer, that I don't want to have both the headset on and the glasses on, because they just, you know, when you're hot, you're sweaty, you know, the glasses slide down your face, and it's just uncomfortable. So I have no idea how long I'm recording for, and I really have no idea. I'm assuming it's recording because I can see something moving. I just don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's you know, showing my levels, you know, as I record. So that's the other thing. So it's okay. Good to see you. See you tomorrow. You know, I don't want to be blind. I didn't want you to be blindsided. All okay to say. It's all okay to say. And you know, that leads me to the last thing that, you know, one of my other unpaid, as Jane calls it, an unpaid internship. You know, I do, my title is NFB Newsline Outreach Coordinator for Pennsylvania. And what that entails is talking to people about NFB Newsline, and I'll get into what it is in a minute, and then either signing them up or helping them if they have questions. Do a little bit of tech support, though. There is a national number, a toll-free number that someone who can call and would have that person's information right in front of them. You know, sometimes I get a call on my mobile when I'm not sitting in my computer and I can't look up something straight away. So in that instance, it's better for them folks to call. If they have a question about some service part of the service, you know, maybe I can answer it quickly rather than call the toll-free number. Maybe I can't. And sometimes they still have to call. So what's been happening over the last, I don't know, few months is several times a week I get from someone who's a member of the Keystone chapter. She works at Associated Services for the Blind in Philadelphia. And she will send me, sometimes it's more than one in an email, but usually one per email. She will send me an NFB Newsline application for someone. So then what I have to do, I have to go into the system and I have to check to see if they have ever been registered in Pennsylvania for the NFB Newsline service, or if they have, just, you know, update their information and send the information back to Marcia, so she can communicate with the person, hey, you've already had an account, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes people don't know they have an account because there is the National Library Service, which gives blind folks access to books and periodicals via audio, whether it's, sometimes you can get it on cartridge. And the cartridge is kind of weird. Kind of looks like a video game cartridge, if you remember back in the day. You know, like either Super Nintendo or Nintendo 64, around the size of a Nintendo 64 cartridge. And you get a player that you can, you know, pop this thing into and play it and listen to it. And I stopped getting the cartridges because I wasn't using them, because if I want to listen to something, a book or a periodical, I can go on my iPhone and there's a service called Bard, and I don't remember what it stands for, B-A-R-D. you know, and I can just download the book or the periodical to my phone and then, you know, listen while, you know, like I listen to podcasts while I do the dishes and things like that. So I get these things from Marcia, these applications, and I do that. And then I, you know, if they're not on there, I punch them in and then I have to communicate with the person if they, you know, if they have any questions. I like to, you know, you don't have to be a member of the National Federation of the Blind to use NFB Newsline. And NFB Newsline, let me just tell you what that is in case you weren't around when I mentioned it in past episodes. NFB Newsline is a news and information service that allows folks who are blind or visually impaired or, you know, otherwise print disabled. Let's say you're, you know, quadriplegic, so you can't turn pages and, you know, of a book. You can you use NFB Newsline and you can listen to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and things like that. There's also some ad circulars on there. During the holidays, there's more, but every week or whenever they come out with them, Walmart and Target are on there. There are, you know, breaking news sources and things like that. There's a couple of websites on there. And the one that, if I use the service much at all, I use, you know, if you've ever been to the ESPN website, there is just stuff everywhere, whether it's pictures, ads, text content. It's hard for someone who has limited vision to navigate that. I can't imagine if you had no vision, you know, and as I've mentioned before, when I read an article, I will have a headline read to me if I'm using the computer. I will have my computer read a headline. If it sounds like, if I can, you know, make out a word or two of that headline, I'll highlight it, I'll listen to it. And then if it's something I want to read, I'll click on it and then highlight the article and then have my computer read it to me. On my phone, it's a little bit easier because I have VoiceOver set up on my phone. I don't use VoiceOver on my computer because I don't want to give up. It's not as easy, as for me at least, as using on my phone. So I kind of use, it's almost like a hybrid. I try to use my vision, but lately I've realized as my vision is bad or gets worse, I can't believe what I'm reading, and I'll get into that in a second. And so it was during this that I was entering someone's information in, and I thought I was sure it said one thing. And then when I went and I started to put it in, I'm like, geez, that just doesn't sound right. And I went back, and I actually had my machine read it to me, and of course, it was wrong. So that along with, so I've been doing those things. Another thing that I've been doing is I've mentioned multiple times about affiliate marketing and internet marketing. And what affiliate marketing is, like when I ask you, hey, if you're shopping at Amazon, please use one of my affiliate links. Because what happens is if you use one of my affiliate links, whether you're on my website and you click one of my Amazon links and you go to Amazon and you buy some stuff, I get a little commission. It doesn't cost you more. And it helps us out. It helps, you know, it helps support the show. You know, I have to pay hosting for my website each month. I have to pay hosting for the audio files, which is a different type of host. You know, so there's expenses like that. And I'm trying to keep that, you know, if I can get that paid for using, you know, the affiliate marketing, it'd be great. So I've been taking more. I've been doing a class from a guy named Doug Cunnington. So I've been I'm starting to build another affiliate site, which once it's done, I will put links, you know, in show notes and things like that. But for now, I'm not. So it's starting from the ground up, and I'm learning things that even though I've done some sort of affiliate marketing for quite a while, I'm very mad that I didn't do more with it 20 years ago or 25 years ago when I first learned about it, because it is a way that a lot of people make a living by doing it. And once you get a site set up, it's just a matter of continuing to write articles, a couple of articles a week. And the article could be informational based, or they could be reviews of a certain thing. For example, when I started the I Can't See You blog back in late 2006, it was just a way. I was just starting that because I was frustrated by a lot of things. My vision was so much better than it was today. I didn't even know, you know, at this point, I can't even believe I was whining about it. But it was a way to, you know, just talk about what was going on with me and, you know, just get my frustrations out. And instead of, as I used to say, as the tagline used to say, it was cheaper than a therapist because, you know, all I was doing was paying for the web hosting. So, you know, when I was doing a blog post back then, I might put an affiliate link to an Amazon thing, or if I was talking about something else, I've had affiliate links for other types of things, web hosting and stuff like that, but I never really did it the right way. And so taking this class from this guy, Doug, it has enabled me to learn so much more than, you know, than I knew, even though I've, you know, I've had digital graphics design, you know, since 2004, we never did much with keyword research for clients. When a client came to us with a website, we would, you know, build the site for them and, you know, do the, you know, send the information to all the search engines so they could be found. But we didn't set it up for SEO. When we started digital graphics, there was no WordPress that everybody uses now. I forget what the percentage of websites now that use WordPress. It's a lot. So by doing this class with Doug and listening and learning about keyword research and things like that, I've had to use a lot of different new tools. SEMrush, Ahrefs, you know, to name a few. And they're all very different. So, and they make it, you know, to learn it, it just, the most frustrating thing to me, and I've talked to other blind folks about it, it just takes me long and us long to do stuff because we've got to find things. So over the past week, I've been setting up my new site and I'm using a different web host because I'm not happy with the speed of ICan'tSeeYou.com and some of the other sites that we host we use Hostgator. Digital Graphics has a reseller package with Hostgator so that when a client comes to us and they say, hey, I need web hosting, you know, we do it through our reseller package on Hostgator. And some sites, if they don't have a lot of stuff on them or they're on a server where there's not a lot of stuff going on, it's okay. But you know, the I Can't See You website is running very slowly and I'm actually having someone take a look into it because I can't figure out why. So when I set up this web hosting from this other company called SiteGround, it's all very different to me. And when I go to something that's new, even if it's a place that I know and they change, like I use NameSilo as my domain registrar, you know, they're changing their site and it's, so stuff isn't where it used to be and it's a different look. And when it's a different look and I can't do a search on the page and type in a word that I'm searching for, whether it's, you know, check out or log in or whatever, it takes me that much longer. And so between NameSilo doing that and having to work with SiteGround and something new where I can't find stuff and I'm just having to highlight everything and, you know, listen to what it is. Or when I was looking for a domain name that I wanted a short name that had to do with the subject that I'm going to do the site on. And I thought I found one and I got all excited. I'm like, great. And then when I went to register it with NameSilo, it's like, no, that's not available. I'm like, what do you mean? It said it was available for, you know, the regular price. When I used a different place, I used a different domain registrar to search because it's just a better look. I used GoDaddy, and I used GoDaddy all the time back in the day until they got, you know, the prices went way up, and so when I saw that, when I saw what I thought that it was available and then it wasn't, I'm like, let me go back and take a look. And sure enough, what I thought, you know, GoDaddy kind of changed also the way it was available. When something is available now, it'll say, you know, get it for $1 a month. Well, you know what? You pay for it. When you register a domain, you pay for it. I don't know if they've just started a monthly thing. Well, the dollar to me on something that was available looked very similar to the $1,200 that they wanted for this domain that I thought I found, because it was a dollar sign and then a one and then a comma that to me looked like, you know, because I, you know, I have so many blind spots, I thought I just wasn't seeing the slash per month. And then there were some zeros and, you know, I thought that was the, or maybe I thought that was the decimal. I don't know what I thought, but I thought it was available for the regular price. I wasn't going to spend $1,200 on a domain name. It's, you know, maybe at some point in the future when, if I want to do something similar, you know, it would be worth it because I have confidence that, you know, I'll be able to make that kind of money, you know, month in and month out that can afford a $1,200 domain name. And some of the other names, you know, in the niche that I'm in, I saw one that was about $140,000. You know, some that were in, you know, some that were, you know, 20,000, 25,000, you know, it's not, you know, it's not worth it. If you're a business and you're starting a business and you're going to have multiple locations, yeah, okay, then it might be worth something like that. But not for what I'm doing. It's, you know, there's plenty of other options. And I actually picked one that has the .club top level domain extension. So not .com, not .net, not .org. Not .tv, .club. And again, I'll get into what it is further on down. So it's just the combination of these three different issues that I've had over the past week. And again, I always think, you know, just like a lot of people say, oh, I don't have the coronavirus. We don't know for sure. And I used to think that, oh, I'm okay if I walk without the white cane. And I remember Liz and I were going to see a movie. This was back before I used the cane. And I ran full force. You know, Liz and I were walking down the aisle. And I, for whatever reason, was first. And I ran full force into someone. That happened here in our condo building, you know, about 6 months ago. And the person I ran into here, and at the time, I wasn't always taking my cane with me when I left the apartment. And after that, I did because it was someone who was older. And fortunately, I didn't knock them over. But, you know, it kind of made me nervous, you know, for other people. So now when I leave our apartment, I take my cane. Unless I'm taking the trash out. And then, you know, I worry about that. I took the trash out last night and I'm thinking, you know, I walk down the set of stairs and I'm thinking, you know, I take the trash out at like 12:30 at night, 1 a.m. You know, if I fall down the stairs, I may be laying there a while before somebody sees me if I can't get up. So, stairs, you know, are tricky sometimes, or curbs if there's not like a yellow line on the curb. And I do have an issue here, you know, when I walk out our back and into the parking lot. So, you know, between that and the amount of time to figure out where things are on the web and then the, you know, the blindside comment and the pointing, but not knowing originally where he was talking. They were all things that, you know, like I've mentioned multiple times over previous episodes, you know, that we do things differently. My hope here is to let you know, hey, if you're talking to someone who's blind, it's okay to say, good to see you. It's fine. It's okay. What's not okay is, oh, you're lucky you can't see that, which someone said to me, some stranger said to me, when Liz and I were walking in Philadelphia, a while back, you know, you don't have to edit for me, that's not nice. That I don't like, you know, glad you can't see that. You should be happy you can't see that. I'm not happy I can't see anything. And I want to see anything, you know, if it's bad, you know, I might cringe, but I should have the opportunity to see if it's something crazy, or whatnot. So it's okay to say, good to see you. Don't say, you're lucky you can't see that. That's not good. I know a million times, you know, if you're saying it's right over there, you got to tell me where over there is, because I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know if you're pointing. you know, or Liz is right over there, somebody said to me. Where? No, I'll just call her name out. You know, or if I walk out front and I start talking, if I walk out of the office here, pardon me, right now it's Studio C. When I walk out of Studio C and I walk into the living room, you know, I may start talking. I may not know if Jane is on the phone on a call, or, you know, I might start talking thinking Liz is out there, but she's not out there. And if Jane's not on a call and I start talking to Liz and she's not there, she'll say to me, you know, Mom's not out here. She's probably in the bedroom, you know, because during the day, you know, that's where we watch TV because Jane, like I said, is working from our living room. So that's what Madison Avenue looks like, our living room. So that's what I have for you today. I do appreciate you joining and listening in. And if you haven't already, I'd appreciate it if you subscribed so you do not miss an episode. And again, like I mentioned earlier, if you are going to Amazon to do a little shopping, you can please use one of our links on the show notes page or somewhere on ICan'tSeeYou.com. Or easier yet, you don't even have to go to ICan'tSeeYou.com. You can just type in ICan'tSeeYou.com/Amazon, and that will take you right to Amazon's homepage. And you can start shopping from there. Again, it doesn't cost you anything more. And it puts a couple of bucks, if you buy something big, into our pocket. If you buy something small, a couple of pennies. But as my dad used to say, take care of the pennies and the dollars take care of themselves. So I do appreciate that. And remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it is only 7 letters long. ICANTCU.com/Amazon. And again, thanks for the milestone, 4,000 downloads. I really appreciate that as well. And thanks again for listening to today. I hope you're staying cool and staying safe. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bench.